From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Skilled Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Matru in the outside. Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Tenfold takes charge. Ricardo Santana Jr. and Tenfold have taken the lead, moving away from Flame Away. Vino Rosso kicking it in late. Tenfold is bearing out through the stretch, but Tenfold will win the Jim Dandy.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishes them in the Queen's Plate.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence here in the month of August. Happy to have you on board with us on a gorgeous morning here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And continuing to edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, returning to Churchill Downs November 2nd and 3rd. And in case you're wondering, and JT, I know that you are waiting with bated breath for this, 83 days, 4 hours, 23 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships. And how about that, old purveyor of papal pontification?
Wow, somebody got some sleep last night.
Actually, you know what? I didn't. I may be just overtired. I think that might be the case.
Overtired.
I think so. I'm in a good mood, but I think I'm just...
I'll tell you, that traveling took something out of us.
Oh, yeah.
The other day. That was wild.
That was a long day.
Yeah. Brutal.
I'm not a good shipper anyway, right? You would think with all the traveling we do, I'd be a good shipper, but I'm really not.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fine shipper, but that thing knocked me out. The delays and everything, the weather, brutal, but glad to be back home for a few days anyway. And 83 days till the Breeders' Cup.
83 days.
Go so fast too. I mean, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what happened last night. So I watched the weather, check on the weather, see what it was going to do this weekend, right, on the news. Watched a rerun of Two and a Half Men. Which, by the way, that show, so much better with Charlie Sheen.
Well.
Right?
You could argue that everything is better with Charlie Sheen.
It really was. I don't know. So I did that, and then I went to bed, and I tossed and turned for like 2 hours. So I think I'm sleep deprived. Ready to roll here on this Saturday morning.
Yeah. Well, we've got a great day of racing today.
Speaking of Charlie Sheen. Maybe that's an omen. Maybe I haven't watched Two and a Half Men in a long time. I've kind of gotten into watching replays of MASH. Right? I'm opening up. I've gotten kind of hooked on watching the reruns of MASH. It was my favorite show as a kid, and now it's on quite often, so I watch it usually in the early evenings. But Charlie Sheen, maybe that's an omen, because Chad Brown has the favorite in the Beverly D today, tying back to Charlie Sheen.
I'm dying to see how this is all linked.
Sister Charlie, right? Isn't it my Sister Charlie? Yeah. Sister Charlie is the name of the horse.
Okay.
9 to 5 morning line favorite in the Beverly D.
Okay.
Sister Charlie.
Now it's all clear to me now.
Dude, it's a stretch. Charlie, I got no sleep last night. Work with me here.
Yeah, okay.
Total stretch.
Wow. Okay. I can see it.
How about Brian Lynch? Good
How
to be
Brian
trainer
Lynch?
Brian Lynch right now.
He's a very good trainer. Fantastic guy. And he's got some live ones today.
Yeah, you think? He has the favorite in two major grade ones today.
Right.
At Saratoga, the 4-star Dave. He has Heart to Heart, 2-to-1 morning line favorite. And then he has Oscar Performance in the Arlington Million, 3-to-1 morning line favorite in that race.
Where is he going to be?
I say he's at Arlington.
Yeah.
It's a $1 million race.
That's true. My brother's going to be at Arlington for Brian Lynch's horse. Oscar performance.
Oh yeah, for the Ammermans.
Yep.
Did he? No, that's a homebred. So he didn't pick
that. He bought the dam of Oscar performance.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. What an afternoon of racing! You have the two winning your in races, the Arlington Million and the Beverly D Stakes, which is the race right before the Million. The Million a winning your in for the Breeders' Cup Turf. The Beverly D a winning your in for the Filly and Mare Turf. And then tomorrow you have another winning your in for the Breeders' Cup Mile at Deauville in France, the Prix du Arras something or other. we should try to pronounce that because my French is atrocious, obviously. I don't speak any French. But Julien Leperoux would be very disappointed. Yeah, the Prix du Arras de Fresnay le Bouffard Jacques le Mois? No? That was awful. That was one of the worst.
Yeah. Fanny Salmon probably. Her ears are burning.
Trust me. No clue. But anyway, so that race, a pretty good one too. That race at Deauville tomorrow and should be a good one. And that's a winning you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile, as I mentioned. And Alpha Centauri going to be in there, the filly taking on the boys. And she looks like she could be any kind of freaky good filly. And if she wins that, she'll be qualified for the mile. You think about the Niarchos family who owns her. They've been just on fire. They won the Breeders' Cup Mile a record 6 times, and here they go. They could have another monster on their hands.
Yeah, well, they've been breeding horses for a long, long time, have a tremendous broodmare band, and yeah, that's great. It's always good to have the international horses in the Breeders' Cup.
Last week, we had a chance to bring you our exclusive coverage of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale, that selected yearling sale, which was off the charts, record-setting. On so many levels, 6 horses selling for $1 million or more. And we want to thank everybody at Fasig Tipton for all their help and support, and Thad Keston with Hammond Communications for all their tech setups. Isaac Wagner, they just went above and beyond to help us out. And we were really thrilled with the way that that sale came together for them. So congratulations to everyone at Fasig. Tonight, they kick off the 2-night New York bred version of the sale, a selected yearling sale for New York breds only. And that's a sale that has produced the likes of Diversify and Mind Your Biscuits and Audible coming out of that sale, too, the Florida Derby winner from this year. So a really, really top sale.
Yeah, that's a pretty good trio, huh? That's 3 nice horses that...
yeah, one heck of a trifecta.
You'd like to have one of those. Look how far the New York bred program has come. I mean, that's just, you know, amazing when you even say those 3 horses came out of that sale. Hard to believe, actually, but New York breds are really good right now. They can compete anywhere in the world.
We saw it last week. You heard the coverage here on the network. The Whitney going to Diversify, defeating Mind Your Biscuits. The New York breds running 1-2 in that historic race, and that tells you how far that program and that breeding industry has come in the Empire State. And in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Jeff Canizzo, who is the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. You're going to hear from him. He'll tell you more about what you can look forward to at the sale tonight, and he'll tell you about that program and all the things that they have going on. And there are a lot of really positive things happening with that New York breeding industry. Stuart Fitzgibbon is going to be with us right around 8:35 Eastern time. You remember Gio Ponti, who won the 2009 Arlington Million? Well, he now stands stud at Castleton Lions here in Lexington, and we're going to hear from Stuart as he tells you all about Gio Ponti, his stud career. He'll let you know what he's doing now. And he's had some serious success, and looking forward to hearing from Stuart coming up in a little bit. Doug Dearen is with Derby Box. He's going to join us at 8:48 Eastern time to tell us about some of the packages they put together for the Breeders' Cup. If you're looking to attend the Breeders' Cup, you can do it in style with DerbyBox.com. And looking forward to visiting with Doug. Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau. Jude, it wouldn't be Arlington Million Day without a visit from Alistair talking about all the Europeans on that program in suburban Chicago today. So we're going to hear from Alistair, 9 o'clock Eastern, and then Brian Lynch, the trainer of Heart to Heart and Oscar Performance, will be with us at 9:21.
Yeah, that's a great second hour right there. Some good information from Alistair. Always welcome on Arlington Million Day.
Yeah, and our brand new segment, the Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales, comes your way 9:38 Eastern time. Jude and I will go in depth in looking at the Beverly D. We'll take an in-depth look at that race in that particular segment. So an awful lot of things to get to this morning. It's going to be a very busy program for you. Get tied on. Here's the poll question for this morning. And you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter. And it's kind of a, when you have Arlington Million Day, we've always referred to it as somewhat of a Ryder Cup type of day, right? Where you have the European contingent or the foreign contingent, and then you have the U.S. contingent. And I always kind of liken it to the Ryder Cup, where there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of pride on both sides, where the American trainers and owners want to win those three grade ones, not just because they're grade ones, but, you know, certainly to represent the United States. And then the European-based horses, Alistair will tell you, it means a lot to them to come over here and try to win. So with the Secretariat, the Beverly D, and the Arlington Million taking place at Arlington today, who are you taking? Who wins more races today out of those three? The U.S. or the foreign-based runners? That's our poll question. Who you got? Weigh in now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll get to another break. When we come back, we'll kick it all off with Jeff Canizzo. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Are you looking for New York bred weanlings by up-and-coming sires? Are you looking for an alternative to auctions? Bergen Stables has colts by War Dancer and Palace, and fillies by Jack Milton and Liaison. Come see the foals with their dams. And when you purchase, once the time is right to wean them, they're yours. Make your appointment today. Call 201-463-1174 or visit bergenstables.com. Bergen Stables, breeding in partnerships that get you close to the horse.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating grade one winner Exaggerator by sire of sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamradal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-588-
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're coming to the top of the stretch in the Whitney. And it is Diversify in front. Mind Your Biscuits, his fellow New York bred, is three lengths behind. Taprit is third on the inside. Discreet Lover is fourth. A furlong to run. In this wet Whitney, it is Diversify. Oh, and he's got a five-length lead here. Mind Your Biscuits and Discreet Lover will battle for second. Diversify has won the Whitney in style. He took it by four over Mind Your Biscuits. Discreet Lover was third and Taprit was fourth in a final time of 1 minute 49.62 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have you back with us on this Saturday morning. Larry Colmus with the call of the Whitney last weekend. Diversify, Mind Your Biscuits. 1-2, both New York breds, as we told you at the top of the show. Efforting Jeff Canizzo, the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. Hoping to be joined by him in just a couple of minutes, because that New York bred program has come miles over the years, and a lot of people have put in a lot of hard work to make that happen. Tonight in Saratoga, the Fasig Tipton New York bred yearling sale kicks off. It's a two-night sale, begins 6:30 Eastern tonight and tomorrow night. And as we told you, that's a sale that has produced Diversify, Mind Your Biscuits, Florida Derby winner Audible, Four-Star Crook, another one that came out of that sale, Holiday Disguise, another. It's a rock-solid sale now. And no doubt there will be plenty of action tonight coming on the heels of what was a really impressive yearling sale this past week up there in Saratoga. And, Judy, you think about the start of the yearling sale season. The July sale for Fasig Tipton was solid. Came back with that record performance with the Saratoga sale last week. This market right now is really, really good.
Yeah, it's super strong, I think. A lot of people that operate at the high end are looking for horses. It's a very competitive group of people. You see even several famous farms and racing entities combining forces to purchase horses together. The groups, the West Point Thoroughbreds and Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners of the world are thriving. Everybody wants to get in. I think it's a little bit of the Triple Crown carryover.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Triple Crown winners. People see that on television or whatever, and they go, I want to do that. I want to be part of that. It's a very engaging sport. So right now we're at a, might say, an all-time high.
Yeah, I'd say it's very, very good. I don't know about all-time high, but it's certainly right up there, right? This is a good period.
Money-wise, it's all-time high.
It's pretty rock solid right now. And, happy. I mean, it's good. When the sales are good, it's good across the board for everybody, right? The breeders, the owners.
It trickles down.
It trickles down. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I say all-time high, you have to realize the business has changed quite a bit. In the old days, there were, you know, personally owned farms, family owned farms that provided most of the racing stock and you know, most of the horses around the country. There's always the, you know, the mom and pops, the smaller operations. But you know, nowadays, it seems like there's conglomerates everywhere, and the business is a lot different. So when you see these big dollars thrown at horses, it's because there's so many people involved.
What do we make of that? The performance by Diversify last week, that is two tour de force powerhouse wins in a row for this horse, both in grade ones. Does he now go to the head of the class in that classic division?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he's first of all, he's very tough to get by, and you know, he's a quality horse. He's, for the last year, since Saratoga last year, he's really, you know, put up some good performances. Yeah. He doesn't always win, but he's really at the top of his game right now. Rick Violet's done a tremendous job with him, and he's gotten, you know, some big wins.
You have to wonder if he's even going to go to the Breeders' Cup. Remember last year, he had the win in your in victory, could have gone, and they opted not to go. So you have to wonder if he's even going to take a shot.
That's been discussed. It's been discussed.
Will they go?
They may not go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's say, all right, so let's put Diversify at the top of the list right now in terms of the Breeders' Cup Classic contenders. And just flipping back through quickly, as to the horses that have already punched their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic, you have the three-year-old Good Magic who won the Haskell. That was a win and you're in for the Classic division. We'll see him next in the Travers on August 25th at Saratoga. Of course, we'll be there with all that exclusive coverage. You have Pavel, who won the Stephen Foster back on June 16th. For trainer Doug O'Neill, and look, he looked good doing it. It was an upset. He was a long shot in there, but didn't stop him. And you have Nankono Yumi, the Japanese bred, who won the February stakes in Japan, in Tokyo, back on February 18th. Don't know if we'll see that horse here or not, but of the others, you have to think, if you put Diversify, Pavel, Good Magic in the same race, who do you have?
Well, I think Good Magic is pretty talented horse, and you know he could be tough in there as well. And we've got more winning your ins coming up, so you know it's not cut and dried by any stretch of the imagination.
And look, we're just focusing on the winning your ins. It's not limited, obviously, to horse. You're going to have a lot of horses in there that didn't win one of the Breeders' Cup Challenge races that get into the Classic, obviously. So there are others out there. But is Good Magic at the top of the, with the retirement of Justify, is Good Magic now the top three-year-old in the country?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, he's certainly of the horses that are, you know, currently raceable. I think Audible's in that mix, but he's not currently raceable.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, Good Magic looked good winning the Haskell, and he's going to continue to, thrive, I would think. Chad's very happy with the way that he's training, and so you know we could have a big end of the year with him.
I'm excited for that Travers.
It's going to be a good race.
It's going to be a really good race. Hofberg coming back after winning the Curlin Stakes so impressively there at Saratoga. We'll see if he can validate all the hype, because he has been a hype horse over the past couple of races, right? The Belmont
right.
Stakes, of course. I know the Big A was all over Hofberg as his pick. He's been a hype horse, and he has to prove it now. He has to prove it against Grade One Company. You're going to have Good Magic in there. You're going to have Vino Rosso is going to come back
right.
Tenfold. What about Flame Away? Is he going to come back?
After he might. I mean, win? It's a little bit little bit stretching his distance capabilities.
Yeah.
I think, but it he could come back.
Yeah, it's a gutsy win, but the gutsy third place finish in there, right, with those horses. Really, really good horse, Flame Away. Wonder Godot. We're going to see the filly taking on the boys.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
I'm not in love with that move. I mean, I got to think Vino Rosso or Good Magic or any of those horses would have won the Queen's Plate, right? She's coming out of restricted races.
Right.
The race at Fort Erie, the Prince of Wales. I mean, it was her and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way about Hofberg, too. Hofberg won. He won nicely. He's a beautiful specimen, you know, gorgeous horse. But he was, what, 2-5 or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, and the reason, and I don't know this to be 100% true, but I would say the reason that they're likely doing this and going in the Travers is because she has a solid resume, right? But she... Monomoy Girl is now the leader in the division for the three-year-old championship. There's no doubt about it. Midnight Bisou can't get by her. At least she hasn't to this point. So it's all Monomoy Girl. If Wonder Godot is going to have any chance of knocking off Monomoy Girl for the championship, this is why they're doing this. If she can find a way to beat the boys in the Travers, a prestigious race like that, then find a way to somehow beat Monomoy Girl... Right? In the Breeders' Cup Distaff, you're asking a lot. This is a lot that has to happen.
Isn't that a fool's game, though?
Well, yeah, I would... Look, if I owned her, I'd love to win the Canadian Triple Crown. I think that would be cool, right?
Right.
But
absolutely.
Then again, we are a little bit partial there, so we go up and broadcast the Queen's Plate. And,
yeah, but still...
I think it would be neat.
I think you got to run the horses where they have a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know, I personally don't think she's in the same class as Good Magic. I mean... I think Good Magic would beat her like a drum every time they ran against one another. That's
my find out.
My own personal opinion does not reflect the views of this station.
Yeah, we fixing to find out, as
yeah.
they say.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't, it to me, it's unimaginable that she would win the Travers,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I don't like the move. But they didn't ask me, so they're doing as they wish.
All right. Well, today is all about turf racing. You have the three grade ones on turf at Arlington. You have the four-star Dave taking place at Saratoga. You're going to hear all four of those races with our team live from Saratoga later this afternoon. You can join the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Acacia Courtney, and Mike Beer, the three of them bringing you all that coverage. They'll kick it off with the four-star Dave, and then they'll segue into coverage of all three grade ones at Arlington Park. Our poll question at HRRN on Twitter is pretty simple. It pertains to those three grade ones at Arlington Park. Many Europeans coming over to take a shot. So it's kind of a Ryder Cup scenario. So who do you have? Are you taking the U.S.-based runners to win two out of three? Or are you taking the foreign-based runners? And maybe the foreign-based runners sweep all three. Maybe the U.S. horses sweep all three. Who knows? But you can check it all out on our Twitter feed. Go ahead and weigh in. Let us know who you got, U.S. or the foreign-based runners. All right, it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. Obviously, Jeff Canizzo a bit tied up this morning up there in Saratoga, so we'll catch up with him down the road. But remember to take a look at that New York bred breeding program. Stuart Fitzgibbon is going to join us coming up on the other side of this break. Looking forward to the visit with him. Looking back on that 2009 Arlington Million with the Castleton Lions stallion, Gio Ponti. We were there in 09. It was a memorable moment, and we'll talk to Stuart coming up next. But it is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Nine horses answered the call to post in early May of 1957 for the running of the singular most famous race in America, the Kentucky Derby. The drama had unfolded in part in the early morning hours on that Saturday on Churchill's backstretch at 7 in the morning when Calumet Farm's General Duke stood blanketed in the aisle of Barn 15 while veterinarian Alex Harthill and trainer Jimmy Jones lifted his left foreleg to examine an area which had been the subject of speculation and concern since he'd come back from a second-place finish to Federal Hill in the Derby trial the previous Tuesday a little bit sore. The final call was up to Jones, and even though it was only a bruise, it was pretty sore. General Duke had blown out a quarter in 24 that morning and had shown nothing untoward in his movement in that outing, but he limped ever so slightly while being cooled out. By 10 in the morning, the decision was made and General Duke would not go postward this day in the run for the Roses. In the field were Bold Ruler, Indian Creek, Gallant Man, Federal Hill, Better Be, Shanpack, Round Table, Iron Liege, and Mr. Jive. It was a chilly day in the River City of Louisville, the temperature hovering in the 40s, and that gave cause to the holding down of both the crowd and the mutual handle. Bold Ruler was a 6-5 post-time favorite, with both Gallant Man and Round Table highly regarded as challengers. With General Duke out of the race, the other half of the Calumet entry, Iron Liege, was far less regarded and was 8-1 at post-time. Starter Jim Thompson got the field away to an excellent start. Federal Hill, trying to give Louisville its first hometown win since Old Rosebud in 1914, quickly stepped to the front as expected. Down the long straight and on beneath the hallowed twin spires past the stands for the first time, it was Federal Hill, Bull Ruler, Iron Liege, and Round Table in that order. On around the turn, they maintained the same positions with the first half going in 47 flat. Down the backside, both the front-running Federal Hill and Bull Ruler drifted out a little bit. That left just enough room down along the fence to let the wily Bill Hartack send Iron Liege along to within a half length of the lead. The first six panels had been covered in 111-2. As they approached the far turn, Federal Hill slanted back in toward the rail, and Hartack, fearing he would be shut off, took up a little bit and decided to go on around the front runner. It was Federal Hill by three parts of a length, Iron Liege and Bold Ruler, as they hit the top of the stretch. Hartack had utilized another ploy of a crafty reinsman by using both Federal Hill and Bold Ruler as a windbreak for part of the run down the backstretch, and there was a stiff breeze blowing down the backside, and in so doing, he had saved as much of his horse as he possibly could. Midway through the far turn, Hartack turned his mount up a notch and had brought him up abreast of Federal Hill as the two matched strides on down to the 3/16 pole. Iron Liege gained bit by bit and in a half-a-length lead at the eighth pole, but Bill Shoemaker had Gallant Man going full throttle, and he was eating up ground with every stride on the outside. He was now only a half-length behind Federal Hill and a length behind the leader, Iron Liege. He had been seventh after a half, some 13 lengths out of it. He had close to fifth, just five off the leader, Federal Hill, at the quarter pole, and was picking him up and laying him down, passing sources. Just inside the eighth pole, he passed Federal Hill and took dead aim at Iron Liege with Round Table now third. At the 16th pole, Gallant Man had shoved his nose in front of Iron Liege and appeared to be an absolutely certain winner. Wait just 1 minute. Shoemaker stood up in the irons, mistaking the finish line. That momentary lapse cost him the victory by a long nose as he recovered to get back in full stride too late. Iron Liege, the Calumet second stringer, with Hardtack notching the first of his eventual six Derby scores and Calumet racking up its sixth Derby winner, had upset the dope. It was memorable for a couple of reasons. First of all, the absence of General Duke, and, more importantly, the miscalculation of Shoemaker, who stood up a 16th too soon. In May 1957, in the Kentucky Derby, a most memorable moment in thoroughbred racing, and in its own way, a great moment in racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich, is Ed speaking?
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Did you know since 1998, 236 Ellis Park race horses have won at least one graded race? 102 horses that ran at Ellis went on to finish in the top three of a grade one event, while 37 of those were grade one winners. Groupie Doll and Run Happy raced at Ellis and later won grade one Breeders' Cup sprint races. Keen Ice began his career at Ellis Park and would later on defeat American Pharaoh in the grade one Travers. Record purses, a new expanded stakes program, and $42,000 pots for Kentucky bred maidens make Ellis Park the best place to develop your future champions.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time grade one winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams grade one winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multiple graded stakes winner, Analyze It. And his second crop is off and running, with several promising juvenile winners already in 2018. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They've turned the corner in the Million, and Gio Ponti has swept in front. Precious Passion is under pressure. Stutzfold is staying on the far outside just as well. Rallies now from out of last. Einstein is fourth. They're coming inside the final 16th. Here is Gio Ponti just as well as charging hard. Stutzfold is third. Gio Ponti adds the Million to his grade one collection. Gio Ponti has won it from just as well. Stutzfold third. Father back Sima D Triumph finished.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. And that look back at the 2009 Arlington Million victory by Gio Ponti. What an amazing race for us. We were there that day. We brought you that coverage here on HRRN. And it was an emotional time for the folks at Castleton Lions. That race meant so much to them, and Gio Ponti putting it all together that day. Hard to believe it's been 9 years since the Arlington Million win for Gio Ponti, who now stands stud at Castleton Lions. And joining us now is our good friend Stuart Fitzgibbon. Stuart, good morning. Happy to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you very much for having us on.
Yeah, how about that little trip down memory lane?
That was definitely that memory lane. I remember the day very, very well. I remember all the Cristal champagne afterwards, too.
Yeah, there was the tent right out back by the paddock area, right?
Yes, no, they do a really good job there at Arlington. It's a fabulous day's racing on again today. Three very good grade ones. We really enjoyed our trips there. I mean, the horse ran in the Million 3 years in a row, lucky enough to win it the first year. And then we were a good second in the two race, the following 2 years as well. So it's a great day's racing, and Arlington look after the owners really, really well. They make you feel special, and they love the racing up in Chicago. It's a great racetrack, and we really thoroughly enjoyed that day. It was probably the biggest in prize money race that he won, so it was definitely a big, big thrill for us to win that race.
Well, it's a world-class race every year, and you're right about Arlington Park. It's so beautiful. But the thing I remember most about Gio Ponti now is when we had you on the show when he went to stud, and you said, don't be surprised if he gets dirt horses as well. And that every time he has a winner, it sticks in my head. And not only dirt horses, but champion sprinters. And he's an amazing horse. He was an amazing racehorse, and he's been an amazing stallion as well.
Yes, he's been very, very hard to definitively decide what are his best mares to go to, and what distance, what trip, etc. I mean, his black type winners, as you mentioned there, Drafong won a Breeders' Cup sprint over six. He won a four go over seven, obviously both in the dirt. He had a filly win over a stake in Ireland over seven furlongs in the turf. Another horse called Runtime is a 2 mile turf stakes winner. Sir Dudley Diggs won the Queen's Plate over 10 furlongs on the all-weather. Zanotti has been a very consistent stakes winner over 9 furlongs in the dirt, and you just don't know what you're going to get, but what you're getting is a bit of versatility, which is what he kind of was himself. He was a versatile horse. I mean, he won grade ones from 8 furlongs to 11 furlongs, and he was, I would say, Jude, I think I said to you guys before, he's probably equally as effective on the all-weather as he was on the turf. He gave Zenyatta an awful scare in the Breeders' Cup there at Zenyatta at Santa Anita a few years ago. So I think he was very, a very versatile horse himself, and it's definitely showing up in his racehorses. I mean, I suppose with Drafong, you could say that maybe that was a throwback to Gio Ponti's sire, Tail of the Cat.
Yeah.
Right. That would probably be the best way to kind of explain that one. You know, but he definitely is a versatile horse. He seems to get them in, able to run all surfaces and over all trips, which is, I think that's kind of good for the mare owner.
You know, I know you mentioned the Queen's Plate for Sir Dudley Diggs, but let's face it, his signature performance came in the Barbados Gold Cup.
Absolutely. I mean, that place made like Charlestown look like Woodbine. I was on YouTube, I watched the video of it, and they just seemed to go round and round forever.
Three turns.
Mr. Ramsey got a great kick out of winning that race. I believe he's won it a few times, and it's definitely a very prestigious race for owners to win.
It really is, and he told us before the race that if one of his two horses could win it, he would prefer it to be Sir Dudley Diggs because of the tie-in to the name and his relative and, of course, the Queen's Plate winner. He thought that would be really neat, so he got his wish.
Well, yeah, it's great. Though, as you say, he was talking up the Barbados race for quite a long time during the year. You know, he got very excited about it, in fairness to him. It is a prestigious race. And it's good that a race like that can attract a horse as good as Sir Dudley Digs, that the owner got a great kick out of it. And Mr. Ramsey really, really enjoys his racing. And if there's more owners like him, we'd be in a much better place, I think.
Yeah, well, he loves the Barbados racing, and he loves to represent the United States. He's told us that many times when we've interviewed him, that he really feels pride taking horses to other countries. I was so happy because that's the first horse I've ever seen that in person in three different countries. I've seen him win, you know, in the United States, in Canada, and in Barbados, and that was a first for me. That was pretty cool. So it is a tribute to Mr. Ramsey that he does take these horses, you know, out of town to other countries. I wish he'd get his Royal Ascot win. He wants that badly.
I know.
But
you know, what I would say is my work expenses didn't really let me go to Barbados. You're obviously on a very, very good package there to be able to get to Barbados. pack up your shorts and flip-flops and get over there and see a good race like that. You know?
Stuart, you know me. If you can't wear shorts and flip-flops, I don't want to go.
That's true. And actually, interesting enough, we actually owned Sir Dudley Digs at one stage. We bought him as a foal off of Bernard McCormick and sold him again as a yearling. So we had a little bit of part to play in his career.
Talking with Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Gio Ponti, multiple champion, earner of more than $6 million. He stands at Castleton Lions, as does Justin Phillip, who was sensational in his own right, retired sound, having won seven races. $1.29 million in earnings for Justin Phillip. And Stuart, this past week at Saratoga, we were there when a filly by Justin Phillip won, and that was Lady TNT, broke her maiden and did it very, very impressively.
And again, similar enough to Sir Dudley, we actually bred Lady TNT, and we sold her as a yearling. We got well paid. We got $115,000, I believe, from Paddy Miller. And then she returned again as a two-year-old and made $335,000, I believe. The mother is a mare called High Heeled Hope, a Salt Lake mare, a very fast Salt Lake mare. And she's a 1994 model, and she's just been retired, actually, retired here at Castleton. You know, she had, I believe, was 16 or 17 foals, and all bar one are fillies.
Wow.
And just a little bit differently to Gio Ponti, that Justin Phillips look like they're all one-turn horses. They're all a bit like himself. They've all got a lot of speed, and the first crop were only three. We'll be looking forward to seeing Lady TNT reappear again, hopefully at Saratoga, in one of the better fillies races coming up.
Yeah, and she has a full brother yearling and a full half-sister to Gio Ponti too, right?
That's right. We have the Gio Ponti foal. It's a filly, obviously. She has nothing but fillies, more or less. We have sold the now yearling as a foal last year. So we have a foal now. So we'll see what happens to her.
That's a good thing for the purchaser, because you got all those fillies that are going to go on to produce, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we do actually have quite a few of her offspring here in our broodmare band. You know, we've got a few in there, so. It's always good to have fast blood like that. You can't beat a bit of speed.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to see Justin Phillip with an impressive maiden winner like that, because I think, Stuart, I think he's can't miss. I mean, when you look at his pedigree, his race record, everything that he accomplished, and all the speed he gives his horses, this is a horse that I think is a slam dunk to be a successful sire.
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, it's a very unforgiving business, a stallion business. What I would say about Justin Phillip is, with his pedigree, I mean, oftentimes if you stand a stallion at a stallion farm and he's a sprinter, the pedigree can be a little bit obscure, and people like myself are kind of trying to explain it to potential mare owners who might use the horse. But with this guy, I mean, you know, he's half to a lot of very good horses, Greenpoint Crusader, Keyed Entry, Algorithms, horse like that. You don't normally get that with a sprint-type stallion. You normally get a bit of an obscure kind of a pedigree. But no, he's got kind of a classic pedigree, a real, real strong, strong, deep pedigree out of a very good crypto clearance mare called Avon Knows the Code. So his first crop were only three now, so, you know, hopefully he'll just keep going. He's got a good filly running in Woodbine tomorrow, I believe it is, for Mark Cassie, safe to say. She won a valuable stake there recently up in Woodbine. She's a Canadian bred, so she's been running in those type of races. So I want to keep an eye on her too. She runs against a bit of a hot pot there tomorrow, I believe. But she's a pretty good filly in her own right. Safe to say is her name.
Well, when you have those horses, patience is a virtue, right? When you're standing a stallion, you can't go crazy. You can't sell them to Korea. You can't do any of that stuff. You got to take your time and develop them, and they get better with time.
They do indeed. You know, I mean, that's what happens. And oftentimes, if you look at a horse like Justin Philip, because of the fact he's a sprinter, oftentimes these sprinter-type stallions, their horses progress and develop into better, older horses. They're usually pretty good, the age of 4 and 5. I'm not too sure if that's a fault of the race program or trainers trying to make them go 2 turns. A bit of both, maybe. But they definitely, those type of horses definitely improve over time. I mean, some of the best sprinters down through the years in the United States are older horses.
Talking with Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions here on HRRN. Stuart, only about a minute or so left before we have to get to a commercial break, but I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of those Castleton horses that are in training right now, including a pretty talented runner called Up the Ante.
Yes, he seems to be a pretty good horse now, in fairness. Christophe Clement has him. He won a stake for us on 4th of July at Belmont. He wants to run on the road, okay? That's what he really, really needs, fast, fast turf. The problem there is that Saratoga has been beset with rains, as I'm sure you know. You guys have been up there for the last few months, by the sounds of things, enjoying yourselves. And you've been under an umbrella, be it an umbrella over your head or an umbrella cocktail. You've been very near umbrellas, I believe. But we were going to run him in the Hall of Fame there a few weeks ago up in Saratoga, but the ground just turned against him. So, you know, I think Christoph's got some nice targets for him the first week of September. Could be a nice race in Del Mar. Are in Saratoga, it'll be the Saranaco, the Del Mar Derby, hopefully all going well with him. And he's out of a mare we own ourselves, Ask Me When, Spitestown mare. A lot of speed in this guy. He's got a great turn of foot. He looks like a real absolute miler. He's got a real, real good turn of foot, a very, very fast, fast miler we have. And, you know, Christoph's very good at progressing these horses and bringing them along, and hopefully it'll be rewarded over the next few years, and we get a bit of fun out of this horse, and who knows, he may end up walking down the aisle here.
Yeah, he's as good as it gets. Stuart Fitzgibbon, Castleton Lions, they do a phenomenal job. You can learn more about Gio Ponti and Justin Philip by going to their website, castletonlions.com. And Stuart, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Stuart, appreciate it. Go enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy that soccer game later today.
Well, I'm watching. It's actually halftime between Newcastle and Spurs at the moment, so I will turn that back on when I hang up from you guys. Although I should say I should be listening to you guys, but I'll catch up on that later on.
There you go.
Well done. Stuart, okay. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Stuart Fitzgibbon. He's great.
Yeah.
His son had a soccer game today, and he says, let me check the schedule to make sure they're not playing early in the morning. So luckily they aren't, and he was able to join us today.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yep. Hard to believe it's been 9 years since that win by Gio Ponti.
It's amazing. You would never think of it, but of course Gio Ponti's had champions.
Yeah. You're right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. We're going to get to another break. When we come back, Doug Dearen is with DerbyBox.com in Louisville. He's going to tell us about all the ways you can attend the Breeders' Cup this year in style with some of the Breeders' Cup packages they put together. They do a phenomenal job. Don't miss this one. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full strength, but keeping track.
Performance.
She wins it. A Maliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with 4-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and 3-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
How do New York Freds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York Fred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York Fred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Freds become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York Freds, get with the program.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Grade 1 level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead by 3, now by 4. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best 2-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, the Breeders' Cup World Championships fast approaching, edging ever closer, JT, as you like to hear. 83 days, 3 hours, 32 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs.
It's about an hour closer than it was last time we talked about this.
We'll be there with all the action for you exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio is with us here on HRRN. And that includes coverage of Breeders' Cup prep races and win and your in races like you'll hear today from Arlington Park in Chicago, Illinois. Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney, and Mike Beer have the coverage. You'll hear the four-star Dave, the Secretariat, the Beverly D and the Arlington Million. Our coverage 4:30 to 7:30 Eastern Time. And you can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 93 on affiliates across the country and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, if you're planning on attending the Breeders' Cup, much like the Kentucky Derby, there is only one place that you'll want to go to get your tickets and packages and your hotel stays. They'll do it all. It's derbybox.com. And Doug Deeren is the man behind Derby Box, and he's with us now on HRRN. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Everything is good, my friend. Counting down to the Breeders' Cup, I know you're probably already in full Breeders' Cup mode.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been looking forward to getting it back here in Louisville. It's been a while, kind of a long drought, and it's always good when it comes back to Louisville, especially for us.
Yeah, now you told me that the Derby was just insanely busy for you guys at derbybox.com. It was just one order after another. And it's not just about the tickets. You'll do the tickets, but you also put together packages. Same thing for Breeders' Cup, right?
Yeah, it's just beginning more and more of a situation where people not only want to come and attend the races themselves, but the city of Louisville, state of Kentucky, horse farm tours, bourbon tours, the parties, the restaurants, all the events that go on that both the Derby and the Breeders' Cup and the city put together. People want to see Kentucky, and they're setting aside more days to experience it. Churchill Downs has done a great job as far as the racing week itself. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are becoming so popular as race dates, the quality of the race cards, plus the activities that go on at the racetrack with the music and the entertainers and the festivities, people just want to do a lot more. And so that's, you know, with the demands for those type of things, you know, we have to plan ahead and we have to give different types of options as to what to do and where to stay and transportation and parking, and all of that all falls into place as the week gets longer for our customers.
Well, it seems like you can customize your trip to do the things that you want to do when you come to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, and that's a lot of it too, especially with businesses and groups that want to entertain. They want to be with their clients and they want to be together. And there's a lot of time where they want to, you know, just kind of get off to the side, like in a meeting room and have discussions. And so at the hotels, there's a lot of private functions where people get together and have their own situations to where they can interact with their customers and their clients. And that's a big part of it as well.
I always say, Doug, that if people want to come to Churchill Downs and attend the Breeders' Cup in style, then they can go to your website, derbybox.com, and they can check out the packages, because you put together packages that include really nice hotels, like the Galt House in downtown Louisville. You have the Marriott Courtyard downtown, which is another beautiful hotel. All of that kind of plays into that experience and, you know, attending the Breeders' Cup in style. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and that's what we pride ourselves on is if you, you know, first week in November, Louisville, Kentucky, you never really know what you're going to get with the weather. And we've had quite a rush and demand on the inside seats, the dining room, the climate control, the millionaire's row, you know, the trophy room, places where you can sit down and have waiter, waitress service, and then you can get up and walk to a designated viewing area. A balcony or a viewing stand and watch the races. And if it's very, very cold, you're only out there for a few minutes and then you can come back to a controlled setting. So we've had quite a run on those. You know, people really who attended the Derby with us, you know, we've been in business over 20 years and people have attended the Derby with us have gotten kind of used to their seats and they want their Derby seats back every year. But this time, you know, now they've got the option of Breeders' Cup as well. So they're trying to combine their same tickets they use for the Derby for the Breeders' Cup with our customer base.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. Doug Dearen, DerbyBox.com, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, also, you're offering a really nice discount to folks right now through Labor Day, 10% off all Breeders' Cup tickets and packages. That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, again, we have a loyal customer base. Like I say, we've been in business over 20 years. It's been a while since Breeders' Cup was here. We decided to reward our customers who have been with us and who have traveled with us over the course of the years, not only Kentucky Derby, but, of course, the Breeders' Cup, the times that were it's here before. I think it goes back to, if I remember correctly, it was the Zenyatta years that were the back-to-back years at Breeders' Cup, and that was so exciting to have her here and the way she exploded onto the scene. And we were hoping, you know, it didn't quite work out, that we would have a superstar in Justify come back. In fact, we kind of were gearing up for our marketing campaign to have, you know, a Triple Crown winner return to Churchill Downs. It just didn't work out that way, but it doesn't hurt our sales. You know, we could have had a spectacular year with a superstar Triple Crown winner, but it's always just the same. I mean, horse racing fans are horse racing fans. They're going to attend no matter what.
You know, if you can't tell, Doug's also a diehard racing fan, so that's why he can go back and remember those years with Zenyatta. Of course, we all do, but Doug follows the sport, and he's a racing fan, and he also has you covered with all your ticket packages at derbybox.com. And I know the name says Derby, but yeah, they're doing Breeders' Cup ticket packages as well. Or if you just want to get tickets to the Breeders' Cup, you can go to derbybox.com and do that. Doug, one quick question here before we let you go. I know that with the Derby packages, you'll often offer horse farm tours and bourbon tours and even maybe party tickets to some of the Derby events. Anything like that pertaining to Breeders' Cup that you're offering?
Yeah, it's pretty much an a la carte custom type situation. Call us directly at the office. Send us an email at info@derbybox.com. We can put it together for you. We have different vendors, and we have relationships with the different horse farms that we've worked with over the course of the years, and we can put together private tours or just an a la carte tour to take care of any type of needs as far as the time frame and how quickly you wanted to get in and out to see these horse farms and see the bourbon tours, and we can take care of any situation like that.
Well, Doug's been in business a long time, locally owned and operated for 20 years. You head over to derbybox.com, and as he told you, send him an email, check out all the packages, and attend the Breeders' Cup in style. Doug, really appreciate the visit, appreciate all the support, and we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road and seeing you at the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
That's the deal. Pick some winners today.
All right, we're going to give it our best shot. Doug Deeren, derbybox.com is the place to go. And like all of our guests, Doug will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. So we'll get that to him, and he'll be attending the Breeders' Cup in style with that Embrace the Race tie, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's great that you can customize the package,
mm-hmm.
you know, and go to the places you want to go. So you want to do the Bullet Distillery, you want to do the Louisville Bat Museum, whatever it is you like, and he can set it all up for you ahead of time. Such a relaxing way to go and have everything set.
Yeah. No, he does a really nice job. I got to meet him. Oh gosh, I guess 6 or 7 years ago now, and he's been part of the show ever since then. But just watching what they do, especially with the Derby packages, it's simply sensational. And I know the Breeders' Cup will be just as good because everything they do is first class. So head over there now, derbybox.com. We're going to step away for a quick 10-second station identification. When we come back, Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau joins us live from Arlington to talk about all the European contenders in those three grade ones today. This is a segment you won't want to miss if you're playing the races. Stay with us. We're back right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hofburg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here's Athena and Ryan Moore on the far outside, and suddenly they've gone by them all. Athena to the front, and she's pulling away late. And Athena will win the Belmont Oaks by 3 lengths on the wire.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal! Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner!
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two, rolling on a very busy Saturday morning. Happy to have you back with us. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, broadcasting from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and looking forward to a win in your inn Saturday. A couple of Breeders' Cup Challenge races on the docket for this afternoon. The Beverly D, a win in your inn for the Filly and Mare Turf Division, and of course the Arlington Million. The winner will punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Turf, and of course you'll hear those races this afternoon exclusively with us here on the network. You can tune in beginning at 4:30 Eastern Time. Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney, and Mike Beer bring you all the action. The four-star Dave at Saratoga, and then those three grade ones at Arlington, 4:30 to 7:30, Sirius XM Channel 93, and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. JT, what an afternoon it's going to be.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Great racing everywhere, but Arlington Park, these three races that they have in their little festival are fantastic. Plus, you get the grade three at the end of the day.
It would not be an Arlington Million Day without a visit from our friend Alistair Donald with the International Racing Bureau. Our only regret is that Arlington, Alistair is at Arlington right now, and we are here in Lexington, Kentucky. It would be great to be sitting there with him, but he joins us by phone from Chicago. Alistair, happy Arlington Million Day, my friend.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Things are well.
How are you? Good to hear your dulcet tones and Jude there in the background. I'm just sorry I'm not with you, but there we go.
Let me throw this at you, Alistair. Our poll question on our Twitter feed today is, who has more wins in the three Arlington Park races, the Beverly D, Secretariat, and Arlington Million, the United States or Europe? And I have to tell you, my friend, right now you're taking a bit of a drubbing. The U.S., 88% of the vote coming in for the United States horses.
I think they'd probably be right. I think you whip us more times than we whip you.
A very humble Alistair Donald on the show this morning.
A very humble man. It's always in my way.
He'll let his horses do the talking.
That's right.
Well, Alistair, what a day it's going to be. I mentioned the three grade ones, and it's always kind of a – I always draw the parallel that it's kind of a Ryder Cup type of feel, because you have so many of the European runners, and they come over to try to take on some of the top American runners. And it just has that type of feel to it, doesn't it?
It always does, and that's why it's one of the great meetings, and of course it's one of the oldest and longest established international races. The Million goes back to 1981, and Europeans love coming to this track. It's a wonderful city, Chicago. It's a great racetrack. There are many trainers back in Europe who regard Arlington as being the best turf track anywhere in the United States. So, and that's why they keep coming back. Well, not just why, they come back for the legendary Arlington hospitality and the welcome they get here. And but they know it's tough every time they come. You know, it's these are not easy races to win.
No, they're usually very difficult, and the European contingent is one of the reasons they are so difficult to win. What kind of horses do we have this year? Are you don't sound overly optimistic with your crew.
Well, you know me, Jude. You know me. I think they're a nice bunch. I think they we have chances, but I don't. I don't think it's a standout. I don't think it's a superstar. I'm not going to tell anyone that's listening today, this is a European horse and get on it because it will win. I can't say that. If I look at the fields, there's a guy that you have over here called Chad Brown. He seems to have a pretty good deck of cards.
Yeah, he usually does. He's loaded for bear again at Arlington in those big races, and he's owned the Beverly D the past few years. What, he's won it 3 years in a row, right?
Yeah. And he might do again.
Yeah, no, he's going to be tough to beat today. Alistair, in general, the horses that come for the Arlington Million aren't necessarily the top horses training in Europe. They typically wait until later in the year, make the trip over for the Breeders' Cup. Is that correct?
We're here in August, and it is a pretty hectic European schedule going on right now back at home. So we just come out of the Goodwood meet. We're going shortly into the York meet, and there are a lot of big races back at home. There's a very big race on Sunday at Deauville in France, the Jaap Amara, which will see a few of our top milers coming out. We always get a nice bunch of horses here, and they may be horses that are on the upgrade, and you may well be seeing some of these guys later in the year at Breeders' Cup time.
That sounded so much better when Alistair said the name of that race at Deauville tomorrow than when I tried to attempt the French pronunciation.
That was probably going to be 1-9 that Alistair was going to be able to handle that.
Alistair, talking about that race for just a minute, Alpha Centauri going in that race, how good is she?
How good is she?
Yeah.
I think I have to. She's a monster. She was. She was impressive when she won the her guineas in Ireland. She was hugely impressive at Ascot, and then she destroyed a field in the Falmouth. And I don't think there's a colt in there's not a 3-year-old colt in Europe that she'd be frightened of. Yeah. I think she's humongous. She's great.
Yeah, she's been impressive. Is the plan for her to make the trip over here for Breeders' Cup, maybe the mile?
I'm absolutely certain that, you know, if everything goes well, that the Breeders' Cup will be absolutely on her agenda, and I would imagine that she would run in the mile. She would not be scared to take on the boys. I think that's her target. What you've also got to remember is that she is owned by the Niarchos family, and the Niarchos family have had considerable success in the Breeders' Cup over the years, and they love the event. So, you know, if she's healthy, she'll be there.
Yeah, that's a big plus, having the Niarchos family own her as far as the Breeders' Cup's concerned, because they've had tremendous success at the Breeders' Cup, and everybody, I think, appreciates the fact that they're willing to ship over here and run in those races.
Absolutely right, and believe me, I think she's very special.
All right, Alistair, let's focus on the three grade ones at Arlington today. Secretariat, Beverly D, and Arlington Million. And we'll go in order. You tell me your thoughts on the European contenders in each race. But let's start with the Secretariat. What do we have there?
We've got a very interesting scenario this year, because we've actually got five runners, which is, more than perhaps we've had in the past. Five runners, and they all come from Ireland. And I suppose if you start at the top, the horse that race fans over here will be familiar with would be Hunting Horn, because he's already been to Belmont, and he ran well there. He was third. He's a Royal Ascot winner. He was third at Belmont. I think Chad's got, you've got Analyze It in there, and I guess he's going to go a favorite, and I think rightly so for Chad Brown. Hunting Horn has got to do a little bit, find a little bit to turn it around with Analyze It. What is perhaps unfortunate is that the two O'Brien horses in this race, and I'll come to Lucy's Tiberius, who's another horse I like, they've drawn post 12 and 13, which is not ideal in a race like this, because I think to turn it around with Analyze It, he probably needed to be drawn slightly better. But he's got the assistance of Ryan Moore in the saddle, and I think he'll run a great race. I think Lucius Tiberius is an interesting horse. He is an improving type. He's just been going quite, he's won four handicaps, but he's been going up in grade and up in class each time. It's interesting that both of these horses have an entry in the Cox Plate in Australia later on in the year, and that's probably some sort of indicator that they are highly rated in the Ballydoyle camp.
Yeah, no trainer has won more renewals of the Secretariat than Aidan O'Brien. He's done it on four different occasions, and he has a couple of pretty good ones, as Alistair just told you, in this afternoon's Secretariat Stakes. We'll see if he can pull it off with one of those European runners. How about the Beverly D, Alistair? Not quite the same numbers in the Beverly D as we're used to seeing, but some solid contenders?
I think they're both solid contenders. And what is interesting to me is that they are both three-year-olds. And, in the past, I've always sort of thought that the Beverly D tends to go to, an older, tougher, hard-knocking sort of, filly mare. Although Euro Charlene put that to bed a couple of years back when she won. She was a three-year-old. And these two are interesting horses. Again, you have seen Athena over in the States already, and she's back. She was an impressive winner at Belmont. She I think she's a very interesting horse, given that she did not break her maiden until her three-year-old career on the 31st of May, and all she'd done since then is improve. And, you know, she ran well in defeat in a couple of pretty serious races, both at Royal Ascot and in Ireland, and then shipped, you know, within a week to come out to Belmont and won there. And, you know, if she's on a game and she's looked nice all week, I've got, you know, no negative vibes about her at all. I think she is class, and she still seems to be on the upgrade. So whether that's good enough to take on the likes of Chad Brown's four, you know, I just don't know. And of course, you know, with four in a race, it could become a tactical affair. He might have a hair. I don't know what how the race is going to pan out. But I think she's pretty nice, and all the evidence is that she's you know, she's a contender. Nialetti, who incidentally will not be ridden by Sylvester D'Souza, will be ridden by John Egan. Sylvester, I think, has not made the trip, and I'm not sure whether that's done due to he didn't get his visa sorted out in time or what the story is there. But anyway, John Egan, who has a ride in the Million, will be taking a ride on Nialetti.
He's ridden her before, so that isn't
it? Yes, he's ridden her before. This is not bad news in any shape or form.
Alistair, I know we're not going to consider Sister Charlie a European-based runner because she's been campaigned here in the United States since late 2017 or mid 2017, but she did begin her career in Europe. What can you? She's obviously 9-5 on the morning line, major contender for Chad Brown. What can you tell me about her?
Well, I think you said it all. The ex-European Chad does extremely well with his, you know, European imports, and there's, you know, she's done very little wrong. I mean, what is not to like about her? I think she is the worthy she's the worthy morning line favorite, and she's going to be tough.
All right. Well, that's the Beverly D. Let's turn our attention to the $1 million Arlington Million, and that's always an amazing race. Tell me about the European contenders in there.
Well, again, one of them again is a familiar animal over here. Deauville is now making his third visit to Arlington. He ran in the Million. Interestingly, he's a three-year-old when he might have run in the Secretariat. He ran again last year. He's always been on the premises. He's you know, there or thereabouts, and he might well be again this year. For me, he's a horse that doesn't quite win enough of the race of his races, and maybe hasn't won the races that he should. And I think he's a sort of nearly horse, and he'll be on the premises. But I've a feeling that something is going to come and finish in front of him.
All right, and the other European, of course, Robert Bruce has been here for a couple of starts as well. For Chad Brown, you have Circus Couture in there as well. Any at 30-1, John Egan aboard Circus Couture as well. Any chance for either of those other two?
Well, I think Circus Couture is an interesting horse. Although I'm looking out here at Arlington, and it's a bright sunny day, and the weather's going to be a perfect day for the races. We have had a fair bit of rain over the last couple of days, on Wednesday and Thursday, and you know they were off the turf here yesterday. And I think, you know, we would probably call it in European terms good ground. It was probably good to soft yesterday. But there will be a little bit of, it's not going to be the firm turf course that it might have been if we hadn't had the rain this week. And that ease in the ground will help Circus Couture.
All right. Well, we'll find out if the Europeans can.
You know, if I go further than that, I think a 30-1 long shot is about right. But he's the sort of horse that you might just throw in on the bottom line of your exotics.
All right, there you have it. Alistair Donald, International Racing Bureau, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Arlington Million, a win in your inn for the Breeders' Cup Turf Division in the Beverly D. the winner will punch their ticket to the Philly and Mare Turf. Alistair, about 30 seconds or so, we have to get to a break. But before we let you go, which European-based runner would be the top contender for the Breeders' Cup Turf right now?
Well, the horse I like of all three, and I haven't mentioned him, is actually Simon Christopher's horse, Century Dream. I thought his form in the Queen Anne was outstanding, gives him a big shot here. And he is a horse, I think, that if he, even if he won the million, and he could do, he's the European that I think is creeping under the radar most of all. He might be a mile over rather than a mile and a half horse. You know, we're at 10 furlongs, and I think you get the 10 furlongs. I'm not sure he gets a mile and a half. But if he won the million, I think he might be back for the mile in at the Breeders' Cup time.
All right, there you have it. Nobody better. Alistair Donald, International Racing Bureau. Alistair, we'll look forward to catching up with you at the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs in November, but go enjoy the Arlington Million and safe travels back home and safe travels back over here.
I'm sure we'll have a great day. And, Mike, it's always good to talk to you and Jude, and thanks for having me on the show.
All right, thanks, Alistair. And nobody better when it comes to knowing the Europeans. He really has his finger on the pulse of all the European runners and does a great job. You notice how he didn't talk about Robert Bruce in there?
Yeah, because he's from Chile.
I asked him about Robert Bruce because I noticed the form looked like it was European, and you wrote down he's South American. And I looked at him, so he is. He's Chilean. Alistair, not on top of the... Well, he probably would know.
He'll have,
he's so good.
Believe me, he has some idea.
He does. More than me, obviously.
At least somebody does.
At least he had a bit of a clue.
Yeah.
No, great stuff. And again, Alistair Donald, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Brian Lynch. He trains the favorite in this afternoon's four-star Dave at Saratoga and the favorite in the Arlington Million, holding a pretty strong hand. We'll talk to him in just a minute, but want to remind you that if you didn't know it, well, now you do. You can use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to Blood Horse Daily feature stories. Yeah, Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more. It's free and available via PDF, email, phone app, and now Audible via Alexa devices. All you have to do is visit bloodhorse.com/daily to learn more. All right, we're back with Brian Lynch right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Competing at the grade one level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead by 3, now by 4. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best 2-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Gallo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Top of the stretch, heart to heart, the leader by a length. Aum is second. Bala Rocks looks for some running room in third toward the inside. Frostmourne in fourth. Into the final furlong of the Makers 46 mile. Heart to heart leads it by 2.5 lengths to Bala Rocks. Aum between horses. Frostmourne then Forge. Heart to heart. In front by 3 lengths. Heart to heart wins it. For Julian Leperoux, Bala Rocks was home second, a multiple horse photo for third, 1:34.35.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our good friend and colleague, Kurt Becker, had the call of that Grade 1 Makers 46 mile at Keeneland in April, heart-to-heart pairing up back-to-back Grade 1 victories and was a neck shy of making it 3 in a row in his latest outing, the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile at Santa Anita in May. We'll see heart-to-heart this afternoon in the 4-star Dave. Grade 1, 2-1 morning line favorite for trainer Brian Lynch. He also saddles the morning line favorite in the Arlington Million in Chicago. What a position to be in. And Brian is with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brian, welcome, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Great.
Yeah, things are good. How about you? How are you doing?
Good, good. Rushing around a little bit to try and get out to the airport to make this flight to Chicago. I wouldn't want to miss that.
No.
We were talking about that at the beginning of the show. We were wondering where you might be, and I said, it's got to be Chicago with $1 million on the line, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's as much as I'd love to be here for Heart to Heart, because he certainly is a barn favorite. You know, it's such a prestigious race, the Arlington Million, and the Animan's been such great clients to me, that that's where I'll be. That's where I'll be for the afternoon.
Well, it's always a great spot and fantastic racing, so you'll have a great time at Arlington, and even a better time if Oscar Performance gets the candy. He looks like he's in a good spot.
I tell you, Jude, just, you know, the way he's come out of the poker and the way he's trained into this race, you certainly gives you a bit of a confident feel about it. You know, it's horse racing, anything could happen. You've got to respect Chad. He's serving three of them or four out. How many has he got in there, three or four?
I think he's got four.
Yeah. He's loaded.
Yeah, so he's, you know, you've got a bullseye on your back there, and, you know, it's a good group of horses, and, you know, nice little group of trainers, so anybody could pull it off. But I certainly feel like our horse is doing unbelievable coming into the race. And I don't think there might be a lot of speed in that race. And I think the horse of Chatterpoles may show some speed, but Oscar could either let him go and sit off him, or if there's no speed in the race, he can sort of go to the front, is the way I see it.
Yeah, well, you have to be impressed with the versatility that Oscar Performance has shown, especially in recent starts. I mean, here's a horse, Brian, as you well know, 2-for-2 at the mile and a quarter distance. He won the Secretariat at Arlington last year, so we know he can handle that turf course. And he's done these things in different ways. He's done them on the lead. He's done them sitting just off the pace. That's a huge asset, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I certainly matured as a racehorse with racing and become very rateable. And, you know, he's the ideal horse as a trainer because he's got tactical speed. He can, and I'm not too worried about the outside post. I think he just sit out there and he's got some early foot, so he should be able to get himself a good position and stay on the outside of everybody and stay out of trouble. In a perfect world, that's how it's going to come to play.
Well, we want it to be perfect.
Yeah. Well, I know I'll have a good afternoon because Bob will be there, Jude, and he's always good for a laugh on a big day to lighten up the scene.
That's right. He'll keep everybody smiling and well-stocked with cocktails, so you're in good shape.
Yes.
Brian, I know you said you're running around. You're driving to the airport, I guess Albany, right, to make the trip over to Arlington for the Arlington Million. But you have the horse in the grade one, Heart to Heart, and the four-star Dave in Saratoga today. Just put this in perspective for a minute. To have the morning line favorite in two grade ones on the same day, what's that like for a trainer?
Well, yeah, I know you certainly consider yourself very lucky to be in the situation where you've got these caliber of horses. So, for sure. You damn sure count your blessings because they're far and few between. You go through a lot of bad ones to come across these ones. So, it's a great. I'd love to win that four-star Dave too with him, but he's got Voodoo Song to contend with there, so there'd be a pace factor in there for him. But I can sort of see it very similar to the Shoemaker. I can see that Voodoo Song sort of making the runner and Heart to Heart just sitting off him, and hopefully we can time our run a little better than we did in the Shoemaker.
A Heart to Heart, such a game horse. He gives you his all every time, and it's no wonder that he's a barn favorite. He's done so well for you guys. I mean, both of these horses are win machines, really. And you talk about luck, but it's not entirely luck. You work just as hard as anybody out there.
Well, I appreciate it, Jude, because you've obviously seen me for a lot of years from California, so thanks very much.
Yeah, and Heart to Heart, a very gutsy runner as well. He's very similar to Oscar Performance in that respect. I think, Brian, if he gets into a dogfight in the stretch, they're going to know that he was in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of them, he's a very popular horse as far as Twitters and a fan base. And some of the pictures people take of him, I mean, he's on the wire snarling, gritting his teeth. That's how hard he's trying.
Yeah.
You know? Some of the pictures you see, you think, God damn, look at the little sucker. Is that laying it down or what?
he is amazing, and he is a Twitter favorite, as you mentioned. Even I'm not much of a picture taker, but I took one of him at Del Mar in the dark one morning where all you could see was that white heart on his head. I mean, it was so cool.
Yeah, that's definitely his signature, that's for sure. He's two things. He's got that signature move as he comes out of the turn to the quarter pole. He usually steals a few on them there, and he's got that signature heart right in the middle of his forehead. So he's a cool little dude. Definitely
yeah.
If he was a guy, he'd definitely be, my man. That's what I'd want to hang out with.
he may excel at shorter distances than Oscar Performance. We might look at him and say, okay, he's a little bit better going, say, a mile and a quarter, although Oscar Performance, as we know, set that new track record, world record in the grade one poker, grade three poker, that 1 mile event at Belmont last time out. But talk about the difference in training these two. Is there a different approach for you, Brian, with Heart to Heart as opposed to Oscar Performance?
Yeah, Heart to Heart, we've got to know him over the years. I mean, he keeps himself fit off the smell of a racetrack. You don't have to do a lot of work with him. And whereas Oscar, he came off a long layoff this year. And I was, he fooled me last year when I ran him in the Transylvania, whether I had him fit or not. So, I he went through a pretty solid work schedule leading up to the poker. And he stood up to it. And each work was better than the next. So you had a feeling that he was going to show up that day. But did I think he could run that fast? Woof. I think they needed the Floral Park Fire Department to put the track out after he was finished with it that day.
Yeah, he certainly scorched him that afternoon. And do you worry after a massive performance like that the horse may not come back quite as strong in his next start. Is there any concern there?
Yeah, you always worry about that bounce factor, but he seems like we've given him enough time between races, and he's, you know, in his training, he's given you every indication that he's ready to do something.
Yeah, that minute and change work kind of stands out on the page for him.
Yeah, Jordan, just the fashion he did it in and the way he galloped out after that work was just, you know, that's what was visually satisfying out of that work.
Brian Lynch with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brian, we know you're super, super busy as we've laid it all out for people. The favorite and two grade ones today. You're making your way to Arlington. Listen, all the best, my friend. Let's go pull it off. Two grade ones in the same day. Let's see if we can get it done.
I'll tell you what, it'd be a good day to have a great day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Would. Safe travels to Arlington.
Thank you, boys. Talk to you later. Bye, Jude.
Bye-bye.
All right, Brian Lynch. Going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by visiting EmbraceTheRace.com. Heart to Heart, the Ontario bred in the four-star Dave. Oscar Performance, the Kentucky bred in the Arlington Million. What a position to be in.
With an Australian trainer.
How about that? I could listen to him talk all day, couldn't you?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've known him
a
long time. I would say over 30 years I've known Brian Lynch.
Yeah, just tremendous. By the way, the Europeans starting to make a little bit of a comeback in our poll on our Twitter feed, at HRN. You can go there and weigh in now. We asked you, of the three grade ones at Arlington today, the Secretariat, the Beverly D, and the Arlington Million, who are you taking? The U.S. runners or the European-based runners? And currently, the U.S. is ahead, but not by as much, 76% to 24% for the Euros. So I guess Alistair must have gone on and voted after he came on the show, and I told him what the early results were looking like.
Maybe some people listened to Alistair and voted for the Europeans.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, that's true. By the way, just a quick little shout out before we get to our break here, and I'm trying to pull it up. Want to wish all the best to our good friend Heedley Bell in Millridge in Nakoma. Heedley joined us on the show last week. He talked about Oscar Performance, who will be standing stud at Millridge when his racing career is concluded, but they have two homebred runners in the Arlington Million today. Think about that. Nakoma assisted the matings for George Strawbridge and Jerry and John Ammerman. So they'll be represented by Oscar Performance in there, which is certainly special. And I believe Circus Couture is the other one that they're associated with. Is that right? I'm trying to pull up the information now and see if that's right. But no, Spring Quality. Check that. Spring Quality is the other one that they'll be part of. So all the best. Want to wish them success here today. They also have Analyze It, by the way, who Nakoma mated and Millridge raised in the Grade 1 Secretariat. So looking forward to seeing those horses do their thing for Millridge and for Heedley today.
Yeah, and let's not forget our friend Jose Garoppolo. 400 wins for him.
Yeah, well done, Jose. Yeah, congratulations. I thought he had reached that mark a long time ago. You think about all the winners he saddled.
Yeah, well... You know? He hasn't been at it that long.
No, not here in the States.
Right.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Jose, one of the classiest guys you're going to meet in the sport of thoroughbred racing, a good friend of ours. So congratulations, Jose. All right, we'll step away for another break. We'll come back and bring you your Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales. We'll talk about the Beverly D, and we'll look at the Arlington Million and the four-star Dave. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms was the nation's number one sire of two-year-olds in 2017 by percentage of winners. His top runners include multiple graded stakes performer Rich Mommy, winner of the Grade 3 Sugar Swirl, multiple stakes winner and graded stakes performer Recruiting Ready, and stakes winners Taylor Spirit, He Hate Me and Sunset Ridge. In the ring, his yearlings have brought prices up to $220,000. Algorithms, standing at Clayton Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
How do New York Breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York Bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York Bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Breds become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York Breds, get with the program.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Big Change is Too Good wins by 3.5 lengths.
In the Navy, Magic Vow, in the Navy, hangs on.
It was another big weekend for Darley Stallion Midshipman as his offspring recorded two stakes wins on Saturday, with Big Changes taking the West Virginia House of Delegates Speakers Cup Stakes at Mountaineer, and In the Navy winning the Louisiana Cup Turf Classic Stakes at Louisiana Downs. And those victories make them your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion two-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. Among stallions standing for under $15,000, only successful appeal can beat Midshipman's lifetime percentage of black-type horses from starters and from foals. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And check the label, will be vast into the straight in the Beverly D. Three quarters in 1:15 and three, down to the final furlong, and it's Stasalita. Stasalita and Dubawi Heights. River Jatez right there toward the inside. But with that flashy run at the fence, it's Stasalita in the Beverly D. Stasalita. Stasalita to win the Beverly D crown. From Dubawi Heights, who held second, from River Jatez, and then Fantasia, Upper Line, Eclair de Lune, Never Retreat, Patch Attack, Cheetah, Check the Label, Roman Robin was last home, and the time was 1:57 2/5 seconds.
French bred Stasalita with a victory in the Beverly D. That was in 2011. John Dooley with the call at Arlington Park. Chad Brown, the trainer, Ramon Dominguez aboard for the winning ride there in 2011. Chad Brown, the first of four victories in the Beverly D. No trainer has won more renewals of that race, and Chad loaded again this afternoon looking for win number five. And just for the record, if Chad Brown can pull off a win in the Arlington Million today, and he has a good chance in there as well, it will be his third win in the Arlington Million. That will tie him with only Ron McAnally and Charlie Whittingham as trainers to have won three renewals of the Arlington Million. Pretty special company for Chad Brown, who came up under the great Bobby Frankel. And you remember Bobby, Jude, you know very, very well. Bobby always loved to point for these races at Arlington Park.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. The races at Arlington were a big deal to him and to Judmont Farms. And Absolutely. It's just a great event. It's one of the best events we have all year long. So.
We're going to get to our Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales in just a minute. But before we do, I want to remind you that hay season is here. And that makes now the time to save on hardworking hay tools. And for a limited time, enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. All you have to do is pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more and be prepared with tough and reliable equipment. The offer ends October 26th, and terms and conditions do apply, but all you have to do is go in and see your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details. And here's the best part if you're in the horse business. You can go into your John Deere dealer and you can ask them about the equine discounts. You can save up to 28%, 28% off new John Deere equipment, or you can call 866-678-4289. That's 866-678-4289 to find out more about those equine discounts on John Deere equipment. 28% savings right now on tractors, mowers, gators, haying equipment, whatever it is. John Deere has everything you would need for your horse farm. And let me tell you something. I have a John Deere zero-turn mower. It's a 62-inch cut. It is simply unbelievable. It cuts so nice and saves me all kinds of time. So head there now. Go to your John Deere dealer. Call that number and find out about the equine discounts. 28% off your new John Deere equipment. Pretty cool deal.
Yeah, that's a chunk of change.
Yeah, huge chunk of change when you're talking about those John Deere tractors, no doubt about it. All right, time now for your Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller. Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
Yeah, new force indeed. And if you're looking for a place to send your fillies to be sold, Pat Costello and his team at Paramount Sales do a tremendous job. So make sure you check them out. Visit them on the web, paramountsales.net. All right, JT, let's focus on one of the top filly races that we'll see in the sport all year long. That's the Grade 1 Beverly D today at Arlington. 1 3/16 on a turf course, as you heard Alistair say, is probably going to be a little bit more on the firmer side. Two Europeans in there and 9 horses set to go. What do you think?
Well, it's a very interesting race. There's not a lot of speed in here. Sister Charlie is a closer, but it doesn't seem to matter to her how much pace is on. She's very tough regardless. In the New York Stakes at Belmont, Grade 2, the early pace figure was 55. They were crawling on the front end. She was 20 lengths behind and got beat ahead. I mean, that's unheard of. Mm-hmm. And she's just a very talented filly, and I think she'll be tough to beat today. The 4, Donna Bruja, right to her outside, is really the speed of the race. She's the only filly that really has an early speed lean, and she can sit just off or go to the lead. So it'll be interesting to see what Jose Valdivia Jr. does with her. He's having his usual tremendous meeting at Arlington Park, winning at a 70% clip. So she should have a good trip in there. She got beat 3 lengths last time out by Sister Charlie at Keeneland in the Jenny Wiley after making the lead. But this pace scenario is going to be a little softer today for her, I'm pretty sure. There's other fillies in here that have a chance. 4-Star Crook, very talented filly, just won that New York Stakes we talked about. She comes from off the pace as well. And Athena's interesting. We heard Alistair talk about her. Now, she ran July 1st at the Curra, hopped on a plane, and won the Belmont Oaks at Belmont Park on July the 7th. So
amazing.
She did all of that in 1 week, so it was a big week for her, and she's on the improve, very talented filly. Now she's had a second trip. I don't know how that will affect her, but it seems like she's a good traveler. She's run in Ireland. She's run in Great Britain. She's run back in Ireland, the United States, and now back to the United States. So very talented filly, a young filly. She's 3 years old, but another daughter of Camelot who's proven to be a tremendous sire.
What do we do with number 7 four-star Crook? Another Chad Brown trainee has been knocking heads with Sister Charlie past couple of starts. New York bred runner by Freud has been right there in a lot of big spots. JT, what do you do with
yeah,
her?
Yeah, she's kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield of mares. You know, people have a tendency to overlook her, and I don't know why. I really liked her a lot in the New York, and she came through for me at 4-1. But yeah, she could absolutely win this race. You know, there's others in here too, like Daddy's Little Darling, who has really come into her own since winning the American Oaks at Santa Anita a couple days before New Year's, and she's really done well. Her last start in the Modesty, the traditional prep for the Beverly D, was impressive. She won very easily that day, and she could win again. So it's a deep field. It's an interesting field. But you heard Alistair Donald say that Sister Charlie was a deserved favorite, and I think he's absolutely correct.
Yeah, in my opinion, the late pace numbers for four-star Crook make her a standout in here. She has run more 100-plus late pace numbers than any contender in the field. And if you look at now she's reunited with Irad Ortiz Jr. again. Irad has never lost on this filly, at least nothing showing in the past performances. Two of the last three starts have been wins for four-star Crook, both of those coming with Irad aboard.
And once again, she's being overlooked. She's 9-2 on the morning line, and Sister Charlie is 9-5. Although, in Sister Charlie's defense, she only has four races to rate, but she has two of those are 100 and 101, so she's got a good late turn of foot as well.
And we still have a few minutes left here. By the way, that segment, your Philly Focus, presented by Paramount Sales. If you do have a filly or a mare on the racetrack, you're thinking about bringing them off the racetrack, running them through the auction ring, your home is Paramount Sales. I'm telling you, Pat Costello and his team do an amazing job. So make sure you give them a call if you're thinking about going that direction with your outstanding filly or mare, maybe the November sale, whatever it might be. ParamountSales.net is where you can learn more. And, of course, reach out to Pat, and he will take care of you, one of the true good guys in the sport. Quick reminder before we dive into either, and I'll leave it to you, JT, Arlington Million, four-star Dave. We have time to look at one of those. I'll leave it up to you. But quick reminder that you will hear the four-star Dave, the Secretariat, the Beverly D, and the Arlington Million as part of a three-hour broadcast here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this afternoon. 4:30 Eastern is when it kicks off. You'll be able to listen on Sirius XM 93 and stream us worldwide on our website, anywhere you might be, Bluetooth us in your car, horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney, and Mike Beer have that coverage for you later today, 4:30 to 7:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 93 and horseracingradio.net. All right, where you want to go, Pontiff?
Oh, let's go to the four-star Dave. We should talk a little bit about the Spa.
Okay.
You know, heart-to-heart, very talented horse. He's undefeated at Saratoga, 2-for-2. He's won 15 of 36 races lifetime. Been in the money 24 of the 36. Solid horse. He has to carry 124 pounds today. That's probably not going to help him. The other thing's not going to help him is that Voodoo Song is in there, and he's got a lot of speed. You heard Brian Lynch say maybe they'd try to rate a little bit off of him or go to the lead depending on what happens. Voodoo Song, really, he's only got one way to go. That's to the front. Pretty much heart-to-heart's the same way. I'm looking for a speed duel there. I think Yoshida is the right horse. He's going to sit a perfect trip right behind those two. Manny Franco takes over for Jose Ortiz, who's riding in Chicago, but Manny's won a race on Yoshida already. He won the Hill Prince Stakes at Belmont Park last October. So I think he's going to get a great trip. He's drawn out outside the two of them. He'll just tuck over and save some ground, and when they start doing the real running, he'll be flying late. He's a very nice horse. And Elliot Walden told us when he was a two-year-old he was going to be an important horse for Windstar Farm, and he sure has done that. He won the Grade One Turf Classic May the 5th at Churchill Downs and went on to Ascot and showed that he was capable of running a big race against world-class horses. I like Yoshida today.
3-1 on the morning line for Yoshida in that four-star Dave. Race number 8 at Saratoga, post time 5:02 Eastern. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time grade one winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Freak yeah, Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah, what if I just needed one sandwich delivered?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 100 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 24 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
67 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
You know, 67's a prime number.
Freak yeah, a whole number greater than one whose only factors are one in itself, I know.
Great. I'll take one Turkey Tom, please.
Freak yeah, one Turkey Tom, on the way.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Power. Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Dolez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Our thanks to all of our guests for being with us this morning on the Equine Forum, including Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions, Doug Deeren from DerbyBox.com, Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau, who joined us live from Arlington Park, and Brian Lynch, who joined us on his way to the airport in New York, getting ready to head to Arlington Park as he gets set to saddle Oscar Performance there and Heart to Heart in this afternoon's four-star Dave at Saratoga. Good position to be in for Brian Lynch. Been a fun show, JT. Moved pretty quick, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you have Alistair Donald on, you got to buckle up.
If you're playing the races at Arlington today, do not miss that interview. Head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this program. It'll be available in just a little bit after 10 o'clock Eastern, and you can listen at your leisure. But that interview with Alistair, Brian Lynch as well, talking about his contenders, just absolutely tremendous, and it's information that you won't want to miss if you're playing those races today.
Absolutely. He's the best. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does. Our poll question we asked you, with it being somewhat of a Ryder Cup type of situation at Arlington today with the three grade ones, the European runners versus the U.S.-based runners, with the secretary at Beverly D and Arlington Million, which facet of the sport is going to win more, the U.S.-based runners or the European-based runners? And JT looks like 74% saying the U.S. runners are going to take home the prize in those three races.
Yes. Well, they're U.S.-based listeners, a lot of them. So
I don't know. Listeners in 160 countries.
I know, but...
Maybe they're not awake yet. What's the time difference in Europe?
There's a lot of... Well, they're awake listeners. In Europe. They're not awake on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's right, too. That's right, too. All right. Yeah, been a lot of fun. We're back this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, with that coverage of all the big racing action. 4:30, Sirius XM93, horseracingradio.net. All that coverage presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org and all part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series. But that broadcast today includes coverage of the three races at Arlington as well. Next weekend, that's the coverage of the Alabama here on the network. And then after that, we're back up there for Travers.
Travers is going to be great.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. All right, our thanks to all of our guests for joining us. Our thanks to Chauncey for handling all of our social media this morning. And Lee Delapina here in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. Hey, 1-0. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.